Put some sauce in
Hey,
it.
all right, I need something. All right, whip it up in the kitchen, bro. All right, show them how you whip it up.
Hello, dog town. Like that? You want
a little saucy?
A little saucy? Okay, I'm gonna have to. Ooh, okay. Hello, dog town. How's it going? Your boy Chevion D. Beck on the mic. We're speaking about host homes today.
We got Adam over here reporting for duty. We got Nathaniel over here reporting for duty.
And Helen at your service.
Robin's also here. So today we're going to be talking about host homes. What does everyone know about host homes? What's a host home?
A host home is a home that someone in the community decides to... Or it's basically a home that someone in the community decides to open up their house to a homeless youth member for periods of, for 3 to 6 months, just so they can get on their feet, allows them to help them start to try to find a job and start to build relationships inside of the community.
So wait, why is a host home important in like a, it's a, for people that are youth that are experiencing homelessness, right?
Because I mean, the big problem is there's not enough housing in LA, and you know, a lot of youth are experiencing transitional homelessness, and so they need a place to be, you know, for just 3 to 6 months until they get themselves back on their feet. And so this is like the perfect transitional program that helps them also like, yeah, get back on their feet.
Also, I believe if a lot of people like would like to help out the houselessness crisis and they don't know how, hosting a place for somebody to stay would be a great start.
Yeah, tell me more. So what involves like hosting a place?
So you can either have one private bedroom,
yeah,
space for the person. It has to be private with its own restroom. And
like if I wanted to, so you said it's a perfect opportunity to get in as someone that wants to be involved in the crisis, but what is, or in solving the houselessness crisis, what exactly does that mean? What would that look like for someone? Or no, like being a host, like getting in. Okay. Yeah. Like one of the things that's really unique about host homes is why is it good for youth right now? Why? Why do you think that? Why is it a youth intervention specifically?
I think it's more of a youth intervention as opposed to people who are older and already into their adulthood, because what they're trying to prevent is homelessness in their adulthood, trying to prevent them meeting that in through their adulthood. And I think they're trying to basically try to eradicate the issue while they're still younger and while they still have more opportunities for work and more opportunities to be able to get around and just more opportunities for services to be provided in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what we were talking about, the importance of, I've been using this word a lot, upstream. So like why services for young people are so important and in specific programming, right? So we can prevent that long-term thing. And then you talked about like it's a transitional. Explain that a little bit.
Like what the beauty of this is, it's just like one tool in the toolbox, if you think about it. So this isn't saying that this is going to solve homelessness, but this is saying like, feel like going to war, you know, you got to have like multiple different strategies coming from the back, the front, the side, and all that. So this is just like one aspect of it. And yeah, I think the transitional part basically just means that, you know, you're not there to live there forever. It's just temporarily. And the good thing is, it's also you get a, you know, the families, it's not like they're just giving back, you know. Some people need to pay their rent as well, and so they get a little stipend involved.
Mm-hmm. There's like a human connection too. So it's people helping people type of thing in the community, right?
Going off what Nathaniel just said, I mean, it's very important, and what you just said for community to help community. Like a lot of times we either rely on the government to help us and all this other different stuff, but we forget all the time that a lot of this stuff stems from community-based things. And it's like, if you have the patience and the time and the space to host someone and allow them to be in their house, in your house or home, so they can grow as an individual, and you build that bond with that person, you're literally building your community. You're healing someone in the community, so you're helping everybody in society. Like me personally, I know how to do these things through plants, like helping everybody through plants, but not everybody's like that. You know, everyone has their own talent. They have their own way they can help everybody on the earth. So this is, like Nathaniel said, one of the many tools in the toolbox mm-hmm. that is used to attack this problem. It's very unorthodox. It's very new. People get scared of it. They're scared of new challenging things, but you know, that's why we integrate them properly. We have yeah. to interview each other.
Wait, why do you think people could be scared? Explain well, that.
Man, they might be scared of just like basic stuff. Like, oh, this person is from the streets. They might steal my stuff because they're used to stealing, or they might do other things because they're so used to surviving in such a critical fashion. Most people are afraid of these things and in those type of ways.
Yeah. Sure. Anyone else have thoughts on that stuff? Oh, sorry. Has anyone heard of like community members that maybe aren't ready to take the leap of hosting, what their hesitations could be?
But like Trayvon mentioned, there's like a interviewing process, and in that interviewing process, these hosts have three potential candidates that they would choose from, which these three youth, versus just not meeting them at all, like who they are as a person beyond their needs. It's yeah. like that's the time where you come and actually get to know the individual, vice versa. They get to know you, you know, because there can probably also be trust issues from the other end. It cannot only
totally.
Be from the host to the young person, but there can also be trust issues from the young person to the host, you know? So I believe that interviewing process is where the spark just starts. And of course, you know, if you don't feel comfortable with those three candidates, then we can bring you more candidates, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
it's whom you feel that connection with. And at the end of the day, you choose, you know?
I think that something that you mentioned too that comes up often is often the youth are more nervous to go into someone's, like, that's a pretty scary experience as well on the reverse end. Trevia mentioned that people could be scared, but also, like, it's scary the other way around, right?
Yeah. Like, it can just feel surreal and, like, you're just overwhelmed with so many emotions. Like, you're grateful, yet nervous, yet scared because you don't really know them per se, you know? So it's, like, at first transitioning into a stranger's home, it's overwhelming and nerve-wracking, but I think that's where we just come together with the support that we have from the host and the host home team, you know?
Yeah.
That's when we come in and support.
Well, luckily we have an interview that we can start with an expert in host homes. Will you introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. This is Andrew Gutierrez III. I'm the Host Home Program Coordinator at Safe Place for Youth, also known as SPY, and I'm excited to be here.
Hey. Special guest, our first hey. Guest on the Hello Dog Town podcast.
Oh, I feel so special. Well, I'm really excited to be here, especially because I didn't have to travel too far. AKA, I work here.
Questions?
So, yeah, so like, how did you get started with this whole host homes program?
Yeah, so this idea was actually a pilot program that Safe Place for Youth was actually interested in doing. And when they basically were developing this type of program, they know that they needed a host home program coordinator to manage this whole program. And so I had been working in homelessness services prior. I used to work at a queer youth drop-in center in San Francisco, and then I worked at USC in their homelessness hub, research hub. That's actually where I met Laura and Robin from Lensco, and the position came up.
Okay.
And Allison had seen me speak at a West Coast convening presentation where I was speaking about how to talk about race and ethnicity with service providers, right?
Wow.
It was a very intense conversation. It was a very, I loved it because I always like talking about race and ethnicity, and anytime that I can make people feel uncomfortable. Uncomfortable topics or discussions with young people, with families, in a way that is, it allows them to kind of like say, okay, I don't want to re-traumatize folks. I want to make sure that I'm being aware of my privilege, and I want to open up my home.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. What? So what's a host home?
So a host home is where a community member opens up their home anywhere between maybe 3 to 6 months
to host a young person who's working with our agency, and they're able to find maybe a job or receive a case management services, or they're able to find community. So it's a real way for, I think that you mentioned it, for them to get on their feet, right? Mm-hmm. For them to have stable housing, for someone to stop thinking about, oh my God, where am I gonna sleep tonight? You know, because constantly having to think about that obviously creates a lot of stresses.
Yeah.
And then folks can then not focus on anything else beyond that. Mm-hmm. So I've heard from young people, when they're able to go into a host home and to have that for 3 to 6 months, they're actually able to think long term. Mm-hmm. Which for long term is funny, because, you know, maybe for me, long term is maybe a year or 2 years, you know. Yeah. And sometimes for these young people, long term is a week.
Yeah,
it's a month.
You're going day by day. It's like,
exactly.
Well, 6 months feels like 6 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's really where I've been able to see the transformation happen, not only with our young people, with our families. So I hosted an all host meeting last week where we're able to talk to hosts about their experiences. Mm-hmm. And what we found was that they have equally grown through this transition, right? So we're talking about, oh my God, the youth was able to get X, Y, Z. But then the hosts were like, well, what about me? I was able to obtain
cross-culture communication.
I was able to understand that, wow, like these homeless people have families, they have mothers, they know how to cook.
Explain cross-cultural communication more. Go. Cool.
So, I mean, like, it's just like right now we're at a point where, you know, everyone's in their own silos. And so, you know, they know how to speak with their own people, but they don't know how to communicate across with different cultures. And, you know, I think that's an important skill. You know, actually, I was just at a social intelligence class last night, and, you know, people are paying $2,000, you know, for a 6-week course to try to be better communicators with other cultures. Mm-hmm. So this in itself, you know, you're getting paid $500 a month,
mm-hmm.
you know,
to host, yeah.
To host, and you're doing good for someone else, and
you're
also
learning valuable
yeah.
skills. Yeah, definitely. I think it's very, very important. Now I think I need to charge more a little for my services. But I mean, that's I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because these are skills that can be applied even like professionally or just like lifelong, right? These young people who are now able to communicate, and I'm just going to say like, with adults who don't come from their background, right? Or who come from different socioeconomic statuses, maybe even different primary languages. Now that they have that skill, they can apply that to their workplace.
Mm-hmm.
They are now able to have conversations with adults or people who are older than them in a way that they feel respected or heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely see that as like definitely a big benefit.
Yeah, like let's look at it like right now, it's the movie industry in LA and the music industry. So let's say like someone that's working in one of those industries, you know, this would be a great way for them, you know, when they bring in, because a lot of the members are artists themselves.
Exactly.
So you get
yeah.
to see what it's actually like, you know, what an artist is up to.
Just that everyone, like the broadly, we all benefit through that cross-cultural sharing and like resource sharing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about silos, so getting people out of their specific silos of just so frequently you're just could be stuck in those places, and
mm-hmm.
by breaking down those barriers, it benefits everyone.
Yeah.
Hopefully. But I mean, this is such a, you know, like we're doing this on a, it's kind of a small scale on this micro level. We're doing it in like person to person, like in on the relationship level here.
Mm-hmm. So how do y'all like with yeah. the cross-cultural communication? Like you guys do events, different things like that that help people?
So we do training. So I facilitate and I create trainings that allows people, both young people and the adults, the hosts, to be able to reflect on their identity. So that they can be aware of the various aspects of their identity, my gender, my race, my ethnicity, my socioeconomic background, my educational attainment. All of these different things influence the way in which we navigate the world in which we are then seen. So if we are aware of that, then we know how to then maybe communicate or connect with other people who may be identified similar or different.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very important. So having them talk through those parts of their identities, talking through their privileges of being born here in America, having two parents in the home, never going through homelessness, like all of those things are privileges that are blind spots for many of us. But this is a way for them to kind of like break that down and then say, hey, okay, I'm open to learning not only from you, Andrew, and from Spy, but from these young people. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it was so beautiful last week when I had that reflection from a host saying, I actually feel like I've gained so much more from my hosting experience than this young person. I was only able to host this young person for a month and a half. This was this particular person. And she was like, but I feel like I've learned so much just in that little time, even how I think now about homelessness. So going back to what Robin was mentioning, you know, it is on a smaller scale where we're only having maybe 10 youth hosted a year. But imagine that those hosts now that have changed their mindset about homelessness and the conversations now that they have with their community members or their families or their friends, that's actually more impactful. That's creating culture. That's shifting culture, right? Mm-hmm. It's shifting culture. It's shifting how we think about homelessness. It's activating community members in a different way. You know, it's great to donate money. It's great to volunteer here at our Access Center, but it's another thing opening up your home and allowing someone to stay.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very intimate relationship.
Yeah.
And so I know that a lot of my youth, like, they have their own individual relationships with their hosts, and it's because, you know, it's a very sacred thing that you all experienced in that time, right?
What have been some successes and challenges?
Yeah. So some successes and challenges, definitely. Some challenges, I will say, are in regards to, you know, the hosts, families don't necessarily, you know, they're so open and they're so willing to volunteer and to open up their home and to be a part of the cause, which is amazing. And a lot of them don't come from social work positions, right, or training. So for me as a program coordinator who's managing this type of program, I can't expect my hosts to be social workers or clinicians or in that type of position. And so it's been challenging because obviously stuff will go down in the home or a youth will come to them in a crisis, you know, and of course the host will want to be there for them and want to open up that space, which I encourage it if the relationship is there. But oftentimes, you know, sometimes it can be really hard for the host to hold that too. Right, because it's a lot of work. I'm hosting you, and I'm also like holding space for you, and like holding you through maybe one of the hardest transitions, or just a transition in your life that can be challenging. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of some of the challenges. Is like, how do we make sure that the host feels supported without making them feel like they need to be also like the social worker, mm-hmm. clinician, a case manager, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? That's challenging. And then I would say success has really been the culture that Safe Place for Youth has created around feedback and participation with the participants, meaning that the hosts and the youth are really involved. And especially for me, I'm always constantly asking them for feedback. Hey, how did that go? Hey, did that work out well? Or, ooh, how can we do that differently, right? It's because I'm constantly learning, and because we built that culture of partnership, you know, now we're bringing on our former participants as staff members, right? We're bringing in former hosts as like folks who speak out in communities and do panels and are on the news and who are writing letters to LA Times.
Yeah.
Like, that's building a tribe of supporters that is just going to continue to like elevate the social program. And that's where I see the success. I'm not only just focusing on like numbers and outcomes, because obviously those are important. But what I'm also thinking about is like, what is the long lasting impact that this type of program is doing to a community?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then to also then remember that hosting someone is not something new.
Yeah.
Marginalized communities of color have been doing this for generations, meaning we have been taking care of each other and sharing resources.
Mm-hmm.
This whole idea of Lyft, really? That's not something new. I've been taking my grandma to her hospital appointments forever.
Yeah, totally. You
know, dropping off family members and neighbors to airports forever.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, because we're formalizing and structuring and throwing some money to it, it's something new. No, it's really not. And we need to kind of return back to that. And going to like my last point is I really want to focus moving forward is how we can include more families of color into this host home program. Because I really see this as an opportunity for folks or communities who already kind of do this and are really interested and maybe familiar with it to provide them with support, not only financially, but maybe some support services.
Yeah.
And before you go, I know you have to go, but keeping those successes and challenges in mind, like, what do you envision for your program in 1 or 2 years?
Oh my God. Talking about long term. You know,
you mentioned, you know, you want to incorporate more people of color to the hosting process. You know, obviously,
yeah,
that's something you would like to see down in the line, but like, what are some other things you also would like to see?
You know, I definitely want to engage with more diverse communities such as community of color. I need to go more down into these communities such as South LA, East LA, definitely get involved more with them. But I also want to think like more like nationally and globally. Like, how can I then learn from other communities across the nation who have been doing this for like 20 plus years, right? So we have a program in Minneapolis who's an amazing, they have now been able to develop an LGBT host home program, a suburban host home program, and a rural host home program. That's amazing. Why are we not then going to the experts into their community and saying, hey, what can we learn from you? How can we collaborate?
Yeah.
And then bringing it across international lines. I'm trying to go international. Mm-hmm. Like, how can we, there's host home programs all throughout Europe. How can we connect with host home programs across cultures, across nations, across communities to figure out what is working in that community,
yeah,
and what can we apply and modify to this community?
Or even target, you know, those states that, you know, are following, ooh, back LA, you know, that are growing in their homelessness crisis. We should target those and try to implement in those states,
yes,
first.
And just,
yes,
I think like right now, host homes are innovative and new and different, like normalize it, right?
Yes.
It's just part of the system. It's like, yes, come in, oh yeah, host home goes to rapid rehousing, like,
yes,
just not, yeah, make it a pilot.
Yes.
Some people are saying, you know, this host home program is the next Airbnb. And so, you know, I'm definitely like interested in seeing where it goes. Yeah, no, it definitely has potential. That's what I've been hearing. And so,
you know what, too, to go off of this long-term vision is how can maybe not only myself or staff members go to these different communities, but how can we bring our youth and our host families who have gone through this program and who are also experts, and we then go together to learn and then develop, and then we all come back together,
yeah,
as a team. Because I believe it's all about these different perspectives. I shouldn't just be the only one who's going trying to figure out how to do this, right? I need Helen, I need the Rapkins, I need our youth and our staff members, I need everyone who else has like other perspectives and skills to contribute to this model. Mm-hmm. So if folks are out,
yeah,
there,
so what's next steps,
right?
Or how
so
can people follow up?
So if folks are interested in hosting or opening up their home to a young person, please go ahead and visit us at safeplaceforyouth.org. We have a host home program page where you can go ahead and sign up. You can also email me at andrewg@safeplaceforyouth.org. Or you can just talk about the host home program with somebody else, mm-hmm, right? Just talk about it. Be like, hey, did you know that there's a host home program going on now? Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, you should check them out. Because that creates that conversation that then will
get more funding.
Exactly. Or even you out here, if you have a grant or if you have an opportunity for us to go travel, to,
yes,
go learn from other communities, or you in your community wants a host home program, hit us up. Let us know how we can be a resource.
This podcast is produced by Lensco in partnership with Safe Place for Youth and funded by the Department of Mental Health Innovations 2.